Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
And I seem to remember that my name is Will Bluewater, OCO, Oginalii Tohiju Tohigu, which means, howdy, cousin, I'm fine, how are you? And this week, our cousin is Bobby Joe Cool. I guess I got the, you're not going to be, but how do you pronounce your last name, Bobby?
It's Cool. I pronounce it Cool.
Okay, I figured, so it's cool. It's cool, man. Okay, everything's cool. So anyway, we're going to be delving into the mystic healing and arts with Bobby Joe Cool. And, but before we do that, Mark would like to do a Mayan glyph birth reading on her, and after she's duly astounded, we'll move on. Anyway, go ahead, hit it, Mark.
Well, in the traditional Mayan day count, she's born on a day called Ten Chican. It's the ten indicates kind of a flow of things, especially creative aspects. It's the Shakan glyph is the serpent glyph. It has to do with energy, cosmic energy, stuff with fire a lot of times, development of things, and you know, the, of course, the serpent energy of both the Hopi twins have the twin serpents at the poles, and then that kind of govern the earth, and then we also have kind of a similar thing within our body in the serpent and the kundalini and the chakra system. Typically is a red glyph, so it's in the direction of the east, and also is sitting inside of the condor cycle, so it combines kind of the native and the serpent energies all together. I'll go to the sixth sun, Zokanun. It's going to have three components in our birth: the forward flow of time, the way we normally perceive time; backward flow, which we don't, our senses don't pick up on that, but our psychic senses or intuition and stuff can see that sometimes; and then where the two time flows together and create a balance or a zero point. So we'll do the forward flow, the way we normally look at things. So this is a little bit more going from birth forwards, or maybe even slightly before birth. And it's saying things about synchronicities of things, movement and thoughts of things, pretty big aspect of love, kind of prophetic things, especially things that have to do with balancing. Truth is another big one. So these things have probably been fairly big items throughout life since birth, or like I said, before birth. It's also a red glyph, so it's going to be sitting in the direction of the east a little bit more as well. On the backward flow of time, which may have been showing up more recently in life, say since 1997, 98, somewhere around there, a little bit before, a little bit after maybe. It's an ot glyph, the dog glyph. It's bringing up things about heart, good virtues, focusing and centering desire, and working with that, better understanding it, and especially in the aspects of how to make certain maybe sacrifices almost to accomplish those, and then bearing kind of good fruit out of it. A little bit of from on that aspect of is a little bit of Pleiadian influence here. Balance is coming up with equalization of things as it's moving, dynamic. So it's not just equalizing things, it's equalizing things when they're moving. energy or anything moving around, how to get it balanced while it's moving, not just sitting there but moving, is probably something that maybe she's been working on a little bit or learning more about. And now the dog glyph in the Mesoamerican Mayan and Aztec and all that, he would also relate to Xochitl, which was Quetzalcoatl's sidekick. I call him kind of the seeing eye dog of the underworld, because one of his duties was to lead the souls that had recently died through the underworld and help them navigate through it. So it's a white glyph normally, so it's more in the direction of north. So we look at where these two come together, what I said with the two time flows, forwards and backwards, coming together and creating zero point. And for hers, it's a simi, which is the skull or death or transformation, also unveiling of things, especially divine things. It's also bringing up this aspect, what I said before, on her dog glyph with desire, about how to focus desire and things. But it's bringing up jaguar energy here, too. So it's a little bit more about kind of moving outside of time, you know, what we'd call mystical stuff, especially when it relates to two things, the sun and helping others, giving service to others, stuff like that. You know, the sun and the service and the mystical life things are all connecting together, and then that jaguar, which is one of the strongest of all the totem animals in the Central American and even South American, the jaguar is pretty much at the top of the pile. So, might see stuff. Sometimes this glyph comes up. Sometimes it's a good indicator to tell people to watch out and learn things like on crystal skulls. And also sometimes people with this glyph, either themselves or someone around them, may have had gone through a near-death experience or an out-of-body experience, something like that. Or they might going to at some point in the future. So,
yeah, sounds like, reminds me of the old, she's probably too young to remember the old TV commercials, you know, about how it's not nice to fool Mother Nature, you know, and then, you know, clap of thunder or whatever. That's the kind of energy, not to be, you know, when I heard jaguar, I went, oh my gosh, over the top, Mother Nature, you know, don't mess with this woman. You know, she has protectors big time. And but anyway, yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt, but go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. Well, they're also, that connects that particular, two of her things here have the number 9 associated with them, which is connection to Blue Otters, because his birth sign is 9.
Yeah.
And his is, Eek is also a white glyph, and both these two, when we look on the backwards flow and the centering flow, and balance flow, they're also white glyphs. So you got basically white and red, north and east, and the directions. Or if you went through the chakra systems, the red would be like the root, and then the white would be what? Stuff like, it's kind of, I guess, relates to the throat chakra, sort of, I guess, maybe. So, yeah, let's see. Yeah, that's pretty much it, I guess.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, it's, what's your reaction to that reading?
Just a lot of synchronicities, which is funny because that's what I felt I was supposed to talk about anyways. There's definitely a lot with that. We were just talking about protection earlier today. And then I do a lot of energy work with the jaguar, and my son's totem, his main totem, is the jaguar as well. And, I've had all these crazy things happen with the number 9. I just saw them today, earlier today, looking at some pictures. I was just at Serpent Mound in Ohio last weekend, and we were doing all these ceremonies, all these different events, and I performed, I sang with Chief Golden Light Eagle and Michael Lee Hill and Mark McGuire, and they just tagged me in a picture, and all you see is the number 9 on this clock down below, and I just noticed it earlier today and was like, oh, that's really funny. There's the number 9 again, completion, and the associating with it. I've never had my Mayan birth reading or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely mind-blowing and fun, and I really, really enjoy it, and it's just more confirmation of my mission here and what I'm doing. And I feel, I don't know if white associates, like something I saw when you said white and red, so definitely the red being the root chakra, but I've seen in other cases where like white is up above the crown chakra, so even higher up. So when you were talking about balance,
yeah,
I do a lot with helping to balance things, and so to me that felt like balance. It's like, okay, it's the white up above the crown chakra, and then the red being at the root. So it feels balanced. It feels really good.
So,
are you still there?
Well, tell us, you know, how you got on this path, and, you know, go back to when you were a kid, and, you know, or just wend your way through your history, and how'd you end up here, you know?
Yeah, so I was always interested in metaphysical things. I didn't know what the term metaphysical was until probably 10 years ago. But I really was interested in tarot cards, different things like that. My sister, who's 4 years younger than me, when we used to go on trips, I would channel, and I didn't know I was channeling. So I would hold her hands, and I would move our arms back and forth, and then I could feel my eyes get, like, hazy and lower, and then I would proceed to tell her messages, and she always wanted me to do it. And
oh,
I
really?
Just remembered
yeah.
recently, yeah, this last year, I was like, oh, my gosh, Billy, I remember, I think I was giving you readings then. Do you remember that? And she said, yes, you used to say
yeah,
you were calling in the gods.
Yeah, you're slipping into altered state. Yeah, wow.
Not
everybody
yeah,
can
and
do
so
that.
I didn't remember stating that I told her that I was calling in the gods. And I was like, seriously, that's what you remember? I didn't remember that. That's so amazing that was happening. And I always was comforting my friends. Everyone always said I should be a counselor, always trying to help people, always trying to make people laugh and just be in a positive state and being optimistic. And I remember when that movie, The Craft, came out, I was a teenager, and I was coming out here to visit one of my sisters. And I was like, take me to one of those stores, like on that movie, The Craft. And I wanted to see how to make spells and potions and all the stuff that you see on TV. So we went to Isis in Denver, which is a really popular metaphysical store. And it felt really comfortable. I really liked it. It didn't seem scary. It seemed very loving. And I didn't really continue that much with anything, with tarot cards or anything like that, until I went to massage school in my late 20s. So I say that massage school was the gateway drug to all of this. So it was a very spiritual school. They spoke more about the philosophy of massage and energy and how important it was as opposed to just making money. And so I started learning energy work in there. I met this woman who is a shaman, and I started getting work from her. And then it like all these floodgates just opened, and I dove in and came up with the idea of my business, which is Into the Mystic Healing and Arts in Golden, Colorado. I had this idea. I was like, I need to have a metaphysical store in Golden. There isn't one, and I always have to drive to Denver. So my plan was to open a place. So I talked about it for 4 years, thought about it, dreamt about it. At one point, close to the four-year mark, I kept thinking it was a pipe dream and that maybe it's just not going to happen. And I went in to rent a massage room at this wellness center, and 12 days later, I was giving a proposal to the landlords and had my business.
Wow.
And then everything, yeah, just came in. And all of a sudden, I had a wellness center and a metaphysical store, and then I opened a juice bar. And then eventually I got a sensory deprivation float pod where you float in 800 pounds of Epsom salt. And all these people that are renting space, I have people who offer acupuncture, shamanic journeying, tarot reading, psychic readings, like all of these things in the metaphysical realm. So I started meeting all these people that were renting space and learning different things from them. And the messages would come in from different mentors, different shamans, and then I started practicing more shamanic work, and then I realized my abilities of being psychic intuitive, and that we all carry this, and that I needed to put it out there, and the more that I did it, the more in tune I got, and the more messages I received, and then I knew I had to help other people to get into this as well. And so I did a past life regression a couple years ago, as the business was growing, all these things are happening, and I saw myself come here in a Merkaba, And I described the Merkaba. I didn't really know much about them at the time, but I gave a full description in the past life regression. And I the majority of my past life regressions were from other planets. So it was seeing all of these things of, like, where I had been before I came here. And I had had a couple of other people tell me that it was my first time being born in. And so I wasn't really sure how this all worked, because I had some past life memories, but how could this be my first time being born in? And then I realized it was that there's jump-ins, that you can jump in at different times to help in situations, but that this is my actual time being born in, experiencing this whole life from being an infant and going into an adult, and I'm here to help people remember their soul mission, and that we're all here to help in some way. We're all here to provide love for humanity. We're all amazing beings, and we are limitless, and it's magic. It's all magic. So that's where I'm at now, and now it's just doing more ceremonies, doing a lot more prayers. I've been doing a lot of sweat lodges, constantly working on people at the business, and helping anybody who walks in.
Yeah, well, it's like our buddy Daniel Brinkley said, you know, we're heroes just for coming here. So,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, what's their life besides being a hero? I mean, everybody wants to be a hero, and that's what we're here for, you know. And we get so few opportunities to do this, you know, unless. I don't know. You know, you don't have to go far to look for an opportunity to help somebody out. And
no.
And especially with little things. And excellent. And so you got this. A technical question. Are you familiar with Zolar's astrological tarot?
I am not.
It's a weird little deck, but it's so cool. If you get a chance, you know, if you're running through catalogs or something, next time you order a deck. I think you kind of like it. It's
Zolar.
Zolar. And but anyway, yeah, because I messed around with the deck for a while, and I just, you know, I didn't want to get off topic, you know, off of your topic. If you want to, but if we can talk about tarot for a minute. This was an interesting. Every card on my terminology, but certain the deck separated it into two parts, but most of the cards on the deck have little messages written on the edges. And there's a different message on each card, depending on whether it's, you know, upright or upside down. And I had a really interesting experience with this deck and did like a 32 card. I'm really fuzzy on this, but it was over 30 cards that you laid, and you could literally read through this. And I started reading through this situation and start talking about a person that was going to really do me some dirt, and this person was going to have a certain kind of color hair, certain color eyes, kind of a characteristic, and it read through, you know, and I thought, oh gee, that's interesting, and I certainly wasn't expecting anything like that to happen, but then the spread lay on the floor for about a day or so, and our dog was real energetic, and he got into it and just totally screwed it up. Should have taken but anyway, well, you know, a couple 3 weeks, some things, bad things really started happening, and somebody that I was working with and had helped, and I'm not going to name any names, it's not important, but I got thrown, literally thrown to the wolves, because And I didn't figure out till a year later why. And but it was a really interesting experience with tarot. And also spent spent about a month near Shreveport, Louisiana, and while I was there, I was introduced to a lady who used to be real high up in Edgar Casey's organization, and she read tarot, and she had left the ARE because she felt that they were literally starting to really worship Casey, you know, and didn't think that was right. But she had a very down-to-earth attitude about tarot. She said, you know, she says tarot will help you recognize the things in you. She says, eventually, you know, if you're looking at these cards and the details in the cards, eventually these details will, you'll just see them in your mind, and you won't need the deck. And, geez, it's just it's a training tool. That's the way she looked at it. I don't know. You know, there's the way spirit operates is, you know, just because one person's, you know, gift is here, and, you know, they start thinking, well, you know, your gift doesn't sound like mine, so you must be evil. Well, hey, you know, that's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of that going around, but anyway, I dig tarot. I haven't touched it in 6 or 7 years, but anyway, yeah, go ahead and now that I've gotten you way off your mark.
No, it's okay. We can talk about
sure,
tarot.
Go ahead.
It's it is it's these tools. There's all these different tools, like how people use pendulums, tarot cards, even like with psychic readings, and I think a lot of it. It helps to have something tangible because it's hard for people to be like, wait, you just got this message in your head? Like, how did that happen? And so it's almost another way of confirmation by seeing it and reading the cards. And I started off getting a tarot deck. I've been reading the Osho Zen tarot cards for 8 years. And that's the first deck I ever bought. I've attempted to purchase other decks, and they don't work for me. I have a Crystal Ally deck. That one's actually pretty fun because that's helped me learn stones. But the Osho Zen deck, I feel like it changed my life, and I have a better understanding of how everything works. And it's not worshiping it. But there's so many times now in the last year that I've hardly touched my cards. And
right.
And I used to read out of the book for the longest time. And there's still beautiful messages in the book, but now I know how to read them. I can tell based on the picture, based on the symbols, all of the things. It's like, okay, this is what this means. And it's funny because I got attached to having those types of tools. Like I felt like I couldn't give a psychic reading without using my tarot cards, or I had to have all these stones around me. And it was this whole procedure. And then one day I let someone use my room, and someone had booked a session with me. So I couldn't go into my room and get any of my things. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm just going to do this now. Just do it. And it's like the universe is like, just do it. You're fine. You know what you're doing. And it worked. The psychic reading was amazing. I didn't use any cards. I didn't have any stones, any of the stuff that I was using or thinking I needed for confidence. It all just worked out the way it is. And it's funny because it's just me and the person, and then you have the energy around, but it's cool. I still love the tarot cards. I actually pulled one earlier today, and I got the celebration card, and it was starting to rain outside, and it was funny because it's three women dancing in the card in the rain, and
yeah.
I was like, okay, celebration. It's always a good one to get. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to get online and take a look at what's on that deck, and but it's really fun. I've done a little bit of reading, you know. I just haven't had time to get into a lot of it, but there's a lot of fun ideas that are associated with tarot and how we got it and where it might have come from, and the deep symbolism behind it, and oh my gosh. And so you're in Golden. Well, you're in Golden now. Well, you're not too far
from where?
Yeah, you're in. Oh, Mark's not too far from you.
Oh, really? Where's he at?
Where'd you say you were at, Mark?
Up on the northwest side of Denver.
Oh, okay. So you're
between Boulder and Broomfield there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really, Broomfield?
Yeah.
That's where Up With People's headquartered. They were in Tucson, you know, while I traveled with them, but they're in Broomfield. I don't know whether, if you're that close, you've probably seen stuff around town concerning Up With People. Be surprised if you hadn't. But yeah, you're living in it's a gorgeous area. I love Colorado. I lived in Crestone for a year.
Really?
It was cool. It was really interesting. It was like
that's awesome.
Like no place
I'm actually
there.
I'm actually on my way there, which is really funny.
Oh really? What are you gonna do?
I have some friends. I was gonna do some energy work on some friends that live there, and then I was feeling called to go to the sand dunes. I was there about a month ago and with Chief Goldenlight Eagle, and we did a ceremony with some women. We were calling it the Sacred Sister Ceremony, so we all pray for the planet.
Do you know the lady that runs the hotel there?
No, I don't.
When you get, so if you're headed for Crestone, I'd like you to go there. She's a Tibetan Buddhist. She's a graduate of Bastyr University, and she does acupuncture. And I rented a house from her for a year. She and her husband, I hope she's still there. Just walk in and say, ask them. You know, is the lady, is it still a lady that owns this place, and does she do acupuncture? And if they say yes to both, then if you can shake her hand, just tell her, hey, you know, hello from Blue Water, and she'll say, oh, hi, you know, Will, and my wife and I used to get treatments for her when we were living there, and she did us a lot of good, great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, just that's Will, really Will cool. Anderson. She might just remember me, Will Anderson or Blue Water. But my wife got real sick while we were there, and we had moved from Colorado or from Missouri, and while we were there, moving her from 1,200 feet to 8,000 feet was not a good idea. Well, geez, I should have known better. You know, I didn't even think about it, probably because I wasn't supposed to. Our little dog literally dropped dead. About 20 miles south of Moffett, there's a little truck stop there. I know you've been in there if you travel. You know, I don't know which. Do you go through Salinas or? Okay, so, well, if you're south of town, there's a place. Anyway, we had just come up. You know, over the pass and had not yet been to Crestone and got out to have something to eat and take a squirt. And the dog took about 10 steps and yelped and keeled over.
Wow.
We took him back into, Alamosa. And the vet said, he'd had a heart attack. And didn't expect him, you know, to live. And so we put him down. And we lived there at the motel for a couple of weeks while we were looking for a place. And Betty was just, she was inconsolable. I mean, she didn't even sleep for 3 days. She cried for 3 days.
Wow.
And she and that dog were that close. but while we were there, there was Tibetan Buddhists that came in from all over the country and the world to do a special ceremony there. And I mean, it was I mean, we thought maybe there was a showing of 7 years in Tibet. No, it was live, and it was amazing. And Crestone's a really interesting place. Anybody that doesn't know about Crestone, Colorado, ought to just read up on it. And
The energy is amazing, and people will ask, like, well, what's there? And I was like, it's not necessarily that there's anything there. It's not like malls or shopping or things like that. It's just being
not much.
And feeling the energy. I reboot when I go there. It feels like home. It's
there's not much, you know. There's a Maurice Strong's wife lives there, and there's a few really rich people that live there, and he's very high up in the UN, and it's basically, you know, you've got the group of people who live in the Baca, they're weirdos, and the people that live in town are the more, you know, Colorado type people, and they get together. And there's also a new restaurant and kind of a lodge there, and we used to go down there and we ate out, you know, several times a week, and I used to enjoy the yak. There's the northern part of the county there, everything that's grown is totally organic, and it's just an amazing place. And it's just, you know, if you're not used to, well, a lot of people come there have the problem we did. It was 6. I had to order in. That's back when I had a little money, I dragged myself to the internet and ordered in an oxygen concentrator. And still, until we got, you know, we had mountains. I mean, geez, I couldn't even. It was bad, you know. But anyway, we eventually got used to it, and we had rented a place that had 80 fruit trees on it, and 12-foot deer fencing, it was a 12-sided house, so it was basically round. And it was really an interesting. It had a 30-foot greenhouse on the south side of the place, which had 50 feet of beds. So I completely plumbed the place with Israeli system for, which is still there, still operating, I'm sure. And we loved it. We absolutely loved it, and was sorry we could only spend a year there. But anyway, I really connected with you. I don't normally talk this much, but yeah. So talk about. So continue, please. We're fascinated.
I think it's hilarious. It's really funny. It was just more synchronicities and signs of things. It's like how everything connects, and you're like, oh, I used to live in Crestone, and it's like, oh, that's funny. I'm in Fairplay right now. I wanted to make sure I had reception. So it's like, oh, I'm on my way there. That's really, really funny. And I had talked to Mac last year. I met him last June at the Star Knowledge Conference, and he talked about being on this blog show. And then we'd never really talked again, and he just contacted me a couple weeks ago about it. And so then I picked this date for it. So it's really an honor to be on this. I appreciate it. And it's fun how, like, you put the things in motion and put it out there to the universe. And then, you know, when you're not in a rush or you're not being impatient, how it comes back. It's like, okay, here it is. You put this out there that you were going to do this, and now you're actually doing it. And I feel like that's what's happened. That happens with all of us in our lives, with synchronicities, with following the signs and following our intuition and doing what we feel we're truly supposed to do instead of going against the grain. And with all of that, it's like, that's how my business came about. And now I've been traveling, doing more events, and I've been emceeing and speaking at different things. And it's like, okay, all of these things are starting to line up. And then you meet all these people along the way where there's all these connections, and how you're supposed to be in the, like, around each other, how we're all connecting these webs right now. and it's happening like very intensely. I've noticed it hardcore, and I've noticed a lot more people who were never really following their intuition or trusting their guidance or anything like that, or following synchronicities, that they're starting to wake up and starting to see more things and contacting me with like, isn't that weird? Didn't you notice this? Isn't that weird? And it's like, ooh, everything's so weird. But it's real. It's like, no, it's not. This is what it's supposed to be. And it's fun. It's all about having fun and connecting everything. I had, I started channeling Thoth, which a lot of people say Thoth, however you want to say it. I say Thoth. So I had Thoth come in a couple of years ago. I was called to get a tattoo, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get a tattoo. And then a couple days later, I see the Eye of Horus, and I was like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to get. And at the tattoo shop, I was like, oh, I should probably read what it means, since I'm about to get this tattooed on my body. And I started reading about it. It was only talking about the right eye, saying that it has to do with it represents the sun. And in my mind, I thought, oh, I relate more with the moon. But, oh, well, I'm supposed to get this tattoo. And I read more about it, and everything seemed good. It seemed like it was what I was supposed to do. And then halfway through the tattoo, I realized the guy did the left eye, not the right eye. And so I ended up getting a free tattoo.
Oh, wow.
But I was freaking out thinking, like, is there even symbology with the left eye? And as I left, I looked it up, and that's when I first read about those. And it said that it represented the moon, magic, mysticism, everything that I do. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this totally makes sense. And so it was very divine that the tattoo was the left eye. And because of that, those came in, and somebody would talk about the energy that he brings, like, every day for the next couple of years. And then I ended up being at this fair, a metaphysical fair, and I got a psychic reading from this man. And he told me, he goes, something big is going to happen to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And I was like, wow, 2 o'clock, okay. And he goes, you're going to look over at me and your jaw's going to drop. You're going to kind of, it's like being asked to be on a board of directors or something like that. He was like, but not necessarily that. It's going to help you. It's going to help your business. It's going to help your growth. And just tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So I said, okay. And the next day, I'm at this fair. I had a vendor booth. And some of the other practitioners are like, you know, who's showing up at 2 o'clock? What time is it? And I looked at my phone, and it was 1:58. And this other psychic that was standing there, she goes, what's going on? And I told her the story and said, oh, somebody's going to come up at 2 o'clock, thinking a person's actually going to walk up. And she looks at me and was like, oh, you're supposed to call in a higher being. Let's hold hands. Just very nonchalant. And to where I didn't understand. I have never called in a being or anything like that. This was still new to me. And so we all held hands, and I was like, who do I call in? And she goes, whoever you feel you're supposed to call in. And like Ascended Master, Archangel, whatever you want. And in my head, I just kept hearing those. And so I called in the energy. We all stood there, did a little meditation. Afterwards, I look over, and the guy who gave me the reading signaled me to come over to where he's at, and he blocked off his schedule. And he said, what time is it? And I said, 2, a little after 2. And he said, who's in front of you? And I said, you are. And he goes, no, you were supposed to call in a higher being. And he hadn't talked to that other woman, to the other psychic. And at that point, I just started crying because I knew, like, oh, I actually just did this. This just really happened. And it was still kind of hard to swallow. Like, really? I still had some skepticism. And the next day, I kept reading about those. And I was talking to my sister on the phone, and I was spelling it out for her. And this other practitioner walks into the business. And I hang up the phone, and she goes, did you just say Thoth? And I said, yes. And she said, my friend this morning told me I'm supposed to read about him. And at that point, it was like, what? This is getting ridiculous. And so I started studying more, and then realized that I was channeling messages from Thoth. And then that the board of directors, I had several other ascended masters come in within those 2 weeks. I had Thoth, I had Jesus, I had Mary Magdalene, I had Lucifer, I want to say Archangel Michael. Somebody else came in, but I realized later that that was kind of like the board of directors in a sense. It's like the energies and carrying those energies and balancing. Now everything has come back to balance, which was so funny about the reading that we started with, where he was talking about balancing things out and balancing things while they're in movement. And that's, I feel like that's exactly what I've been doing. It's like creating this equal exchange, this balance wherever I go. And then with that, that energy carries on to other people. And then they're carrying that. And then you just have this like movement of balance circulating throughout everything and with everyone. And I feel that Thoth has, the energy of Thoth has helped a lot with that. And he's depicted as an ibis. And so you have the black and the white that represents balance. So you've got the masculine and the feminine. And it's, that's what it's all really about. It's balance, balance, balance. Like when our chakras are out of balance, you're in chaos. When like the energy, how the energy's been on this planet for so long, it's been, the masculine has been raised at an extremely high level and the feminine had been completely like pushed down. So there was more war, there's more chaos throughout everything, more violence, and now everything's shifting and people are recognizing it. And so the feminine has risen and it's really close to being on the same level with the masculine. So there's going to be this total balance. So every single person can honor their own masculine, their own feminine, and just keep this flowing. I keep seeing this infinity symbol. It's like the infinity symbol is balanced as well. So constant movement, constant change, constant balance, constant love. I actually have the infinity symbol tattooed in the eye of Horus. It's the actual, like, what he sees, and what the, so the left eye of Thoth. So it's just recognizing the balance with everything. Are you still there?
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say that's interesting. Yeah, I haven't made much of a study of, I've heard the name quite a bit. You know, I've just never really looked into what Thoth is. And I feel you're right about the pronunciation, because that's just the way things were done a long time ago. And well, that's cool. What's Thoth been telling people here lately? Or is it only speak to individuals, or does he talk about what's going on? Does he only talk to individuals, or does he comment about what's going on in the world and about earthquakes, or does he get into that kind of information? Disaster.
So he hasn't gone into much earthquakes or talking about earthquakes. There's definitely, like, you can tell when things like that happen. I mean, because there's some, like, I feel with fracking and things like that, that there's man-made earthquakes as opposed to, like,
yeah,
Mother Earth really, like, stepping up. Like, whenever things like that happen, it's a cleansing, and cleansings aren't always pretty or what we want, and so we'll see destruction, but it's also how growth is created with that destruction.
Oh, sure.
So,
and have you figured out the connection between, the ibis is a water bird, right?
Yes.
And the connection, but there's a connection between a water bird and the Native American church. Didn't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah,
that's fine.
It's definitely a thing, and
connected.
Yeah, it's and the color is red and blue. Connect. You can probably go on eBay right now and put in, you know, Coyote Waterbird decal or something like that. There's that connection. Go ahead and tell us some more.
So the majority of the messages that come through with those is love. It's just really moving from a heart-centered space as much as you possibly can. And it starts by loving yourself and truly loving yourself. And then at that point, you're able to just share so much love and you won't be depleted because you constantly have that love for yourself. But there's so many people who have given, just give so much to others and not taking care of themselves. And we were raised to do that. It's like, do everything for everybody else, not for yourself. And so once you can get into that place where you can take care of yourself and you can truly take care of other people in the ways that they need, and it's like we're all just walking each other home. So when I had first started channeling Thoth, he had said, it was like, there's no wrong way to say my name. The reason why I say Thoth is because I took an oath to bring in the messages. And a lot of times people will say Thoth, and it's because of the thought. And he's just in extreme gratitude, because whenever we talk about these beings, we keep them alive. We keep that energy alive. And it's not like a worship of them. It's just like an honoring. So there's so many things that Thoth has done. When you look at everything, he invented math and science and music and the stars and built the pyramids, and it just goes on and on. He's like a badass. It's impressive when you read about it. And so I had been guided to read the Emerald Tablets, and I read those 4 times. And every time I read them, even if it didn't make sense necessarily, I could feel the downloads. I felt completely different when I finished them each time. And so I know it's these activation codes that are coming in. So for anybody out there, I highly recommend reading the Emerald Tablets and not worrying about figuring everything out. It's just read and absorb the energy and absorb the information. So pretty much anything that has to do with love, the energy of Thoth is green, and that's the heart chakra, and the Merkaba is in the heart chakra. And it's there's so much love. And I'm having a hard time because I keep saying he, and the messages that have been coming up is that he doesn't want to be referred to as he anymore because he represents both. But it's really difficult. It's been very difficult for me to do the switch. Like, I honor the masculine and the feminine. So I need to learn how to just say, just when speaking about, it's not it either, it's both. So that's the energy. And there's a lot of balance with that too. You have the TH and then the O and then the TH. And
right.
So in the middle, there's this circle. And that just came through. So it's like, oh, that's balance. That's extreme balance. And the numerology of Thoth is the number 8, which comes back to the infinity. And it's funny because the numerology with my name, Bobby, is an 8. And my son's name is Wesley, and his is an 8. And so is Thoth. And so that came through. It's like, okay, there's all of these more signs and synchronicities, all the fun stuff, and infinity, it's all flowing, and 8 is a magic number as well. And
well, let me tell you what about the color green. The rabbis say that the Creator's first act was to shine a green light all out through the universe. And that was the very first act. It's not anywhere, but it's part of the oral tradition. But
wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm looking around and seeing all the green that's in front of me right now.
Right.
There's
all the colors of Muhammad honored the color green.
It is powerful. So many people associate the red with love, and it's
actually
not that it doesn't.
You want something really weird. I mean, say, you know, you're a kid and somebody's going to try to portray the devil, you know. Well, what colors are they going to use? He's going to be wearing what? Two colors. And?
Yeah.
Black. Red and what? Okay.
Oh.
Well,
yeah.
That particular color combination is verboten in the Talmud, I believe. Yes, wherever I was reading Zohar or the Talmud. Yes, you know, that's two colors. Isn't that interesting that somehow those two colors, you know, can be used in a negative, to portray something that was negative, and who knows, maybe people were using those colors, and for whatever reason, they're forbidden to those people. And but yeah,
wow.
it's interesting about color, the color combination,
and the associations.
Oh yeah, it's like in Cherokee way, everything's seven. You know, we've got the four that people usually have, but we also have a horizontal brown line, the top half of the circle is sky blue, and the bottom half of the circle is green. That's our seven colors, and of course, you know, plus the usual four that everybody else has. But and that's a very sacred thing to Cherokee, and not all of us agree on everything, but it's important. And you know, the very first thing that my first wife, I've been widow wife, and my first wife and I, when we first started looking into this kind of stuff, it was the middle 80s, and we got into it through stones. And stone medicine. That's how we started looking at this kind of stuff. There was a lady in the little east out town we were living in that had a little metaphysical shop. She rented videos, and so you know, this comes back around to just how important your business is, and gives you a chance, you know, because there's all kinds of people out there that are they're going to be wondering, and you know, people are going to wander off the street, and 30 years later, you know, we might be doing stuff like you and I are doing,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. It's really cool.
It is. It's really cool.
And not something I've been messing around with for a long time, but I sure remember it. And then we both got Reiki 1, and which is a trip too. And well, listen, I don't, you know, in fair play, you're probably sitting in your car. We gotta let you get down the road. What do you think?
That's good.
Okay, yeah.
We've already gone through an hour.
Yeah. Now, fair play. I remember that's right up on the Arkansas River. You're just you're it's before you go into the mountains. You're in fair play. I know where you're at. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
beautiful place. But well, hey, we appreciate you. Well, let's keep in
touch. Thank you so much. Yeah, definitely. I'd love to come on again. Maybe we can do a channeling session or something.
Hey, that'd be fun.
Yeah, and if everybody can check out my website at www.intothemystichealingandarts.com. I have an online metaphysical store
Right here on, it's right here on the page, and people
know
how to get in touch. All right, well, good deal.
So even if they're out of state.
When we get back, I'll show you how you can integrate a player into your website, and how people can find the interview if they want to download it.
Okay.
So, all right. Hey.
Excellent. That would be great. Thank you. It was so nice to meet you. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mark. You bet.
All
thanks,
right.
Mark.
Yes. Thank you, Mark. Thanks so much. Thanks for the reading. Yep.
You're welcome.
Awesome. All right, you guys have a great night.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us, and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
Sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater, encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner.
Presently, Oklava Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and/or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around, out away's a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone in the valley, mountains high and running streams. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. One with